And we return this morning to Acts chapter 10, where Luke is describing to us the incident involving Cornelius, one of the very significant figures whom we meet in the book of Acts, someone who has a very pivotal role in the history of the New Testament church. And we're going to read this morning Acts chapter 10, verses 22 through 33. In our sermon, we're going to be concentrating on verses 30 through 33. But we're going to begin reading in verse 22, and we break into Luke's account as Peter is speaking with three messengers who have come from Caesarea, 30 or 35 miles to the north of Joppa, where Peter is lodging. And the messengers have pulled up outside the house of Simon, where Peter is a guest, and Peter has a question for them. What is the reason for your coming? And then we pick up Luke's account in verse 22 and listen, because this is God's word. And they said, "Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say. So he invited them in to be his guests. The next day he rose and went away with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. And on the following day they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, 'Stand up, I too am a man.' And as he talked with him, he went in and found many persons gathered. And he said to them, 'You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone from another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. I ask then why you sent for me.' And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, about this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging at the house of Simon, a tanner, by the sea. So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord.'" And that is God's word, and let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we hear the words of Cornelius, a man who recognized himself to be in the presence of God, eager to hear what God had to say. And we pray that that might be our attitude also. And we pray this morning that you would indeed come among us by your Holy Spirit, because we confess, as we have just been singing, we confess that our ability to discern is darkened and clouded and our understanding obscured. And so we pray that you would shine your light into our hearts and that you would cause your word to be a living, powerful, and active word in our midst this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here is one happy preacher. We're not told in so many words that Peter was a happy preacher, but there's no question whatsoever in my mind that Peter must have been very happy as he recognized what was happening before him. Here he is coming into the house of Cornelius, and he's been puzzling over what kind of invitation this should be extended by a Roman centurion, no less, to come up to Caesarea in order to meet with him. And Peter's been puzzling over that, and the light has been coming on, and now Peter comes into the home of Cornelius. And as he does so, and as Cornelius speaks, Peter must have had a sense of God being at work, and Peter must have had a sense of anticipation and expectation that something very significant is going to happen. And in our verses, in the verses verses that we're going to zero in on this morning, verses 30 through 33, we hear Cornelius speaking. And Cornelius has some words of introduction, kind of announcements, if you like, that are going to precede Cornelius giving the floor to Peter, or rather giving the pulpit to Peter, because Peter has come there in order that he might preach about Jesus. But before Peter takes the pulpit, before Peter begins his sermon, Cornelius offers some words of introduction, some words of orientation that must have powerfully brought home to Peter the realization that in this situation, God is at work. It's not simply an encounter between Peter, Cornelius, and those others who are there in Cornelius' house. It is an encounter ordained by God. It is an encounter in which God Himself is powerfully present. And of course, as we recognize that, that gives us some orientation to what we, for our part, ought to anticipate and expect when we gather as the people of God in the presence of God's Word preached. And as we look into our verses and gather from them some of the reasons why Peter must have been one happy preacher, it clues us in and orients us as to how we should look on the preaching of God's Word and how we should receive the preaching of God's Word and what we should be looking for God to do. Wonderful things. And so we want to come to our verses this morning. We're going to break out our verses into three sections. We're going to, first of all, see the preparations that had been made for this preaching event that Luke is about to describe for us. And well, really throughout our passage, we're given an account of the preparations that had been made. But we'll look particularly at verses 30 through the first part of verse 33. And then we're going to, the preacher is going to be introduced to us. And that introduction is going to be made in verse 33. And also the congregation is going to be introduced to us. And that introduction also appears in verse 33. And so Luke builds for us a picture, a very positive picture, of this preaching encounter at the house of Cornelius, and draws our attention to the preparations that have been made, the preacher who arrives, and the people who have gathered to hear. And first of all, then, those preparations. And of course, there must have been some preparation for this kind of occasion to come about. This kind of event that Luke describes in these verses is not the kind of event that just would happen by random. This is not a chance encounter. Here we've got Peter, and remember, we've already met Peter. Peter's he's a disciple of Jesus, someone who for 3 years was a close friend of the Lord Jesus, someone who was commissioned by Jesus to proclaim, to preach the message of the Lord Jesus. And of course, we know from earlier in Acts that Peter has been powerfully indwelt by the Holy Spirit in order to carry out that ministry that has been given to him. And then on the other hand, we have got Cornelius. And Cornelius has been making preparations, hasn't he? We're told that this is now the fourth day since Cornelius had his vision, which he was told to send down to Joppa and invite Peter up. So we know that for 4 days, Cornelius has been making preparations. Yes, he sent his messengers down to Joppa, but in the intervening time, we can well imagine Cornelius sending out invitations to his friends and relations, and we meet them all gathered here in the passage that we read. So we can imagine that the messengers going out, the invitations being sent, Cornelius making his house ready for those who are going to gather on that occasion. But it's not as if Cornelius has been making preparations merely for over that space of 4 days. Preparations have been going on way before that, because, well, we're told that Cornelius was a pious man. He was a man who feared God. He was a man who prayed. He was diligent in prayer. He petitioned God. He prayed to God. He called on the name of the Lord. He was a God-fearing man who looked to God. And we're not told precisely or specifically what it was he prayed for. And we can imagine that Cornelius probably prayed many prayers. He may have prayed for promotion as someone who was climbing the ranks in the Roman army. He may have prayed for good health as he found himself living in these foreign parts. He may have prayed for the safety and protection of his family and his household in this outpost of empire where the indigenous population was so hostile to the occupying Roman forces. There must have been many things that Cornelius could have prayed for. But what we're told is that the answer to Cornelius' prayers started, so to speak, with Cornelius hearing someone preach God's word. Whatever it was precisely or specifically that Cornelius prayed for, God began to answer his prayer by sending someone who was going to preach to him about Jesus. And we're going to discover next Lord's Day that as Peter takes the pulpit, as he begins to preach, his preaching centers on the person of the Lord Jesus. Cornelius is someone who has been praying. So there is prayer that has preceded this encounter, this event. And now God is at work. Oh yes, Cornelius has been making preparations, but God's at work. Prayer has gone up. Peter has been constrained to come. He's been moved to come to the place where Cornelius is. And remember, we saw last Lord's Day that Peter is someone in whom God is continuing to be at work. We saw last Lord's Day that Peter still had lessons to learn. And specifically, of course, Peter has got lessons to learn about the gospel going not just to Jewish people to convert them to the Lord Jesus, but now Peter is learning that the gospel is to go also to those who are not Jews, in order not that they become Jews, but that they become followers, that they become disciples of the Lord Jesus themselves. And Peter, that's a lesson that Peter's learning. Now, of course, Peter heard Jesus speak those words that are recorded for us at the end of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, where in verse 19, Jesus says, "Go and make disciples of all nations." And it's at that point you think, well, Peter must have thought, well, Jesus is using hyperbole here. Surely Jesus can't mean all nations when he says all nations. And it's one of those situations where we hear the Savior speak to us, and our response is perhaps, well, surely you can't mean that. Surely I'm not hearing clearly. Surely I'm misunderstanding. But of course, Peter is learning that there's no misunderstanding here, that Jesus really does intend for the gospel to go not just to Jewish people, but to Gentile people as well. And so Peter is, if Cornelius is someone in whose life God is at work, Peter's someone in whom God is, in whose life God is at work also, so that as this assembly begins to gather in Cornelius' house, we have a sense that their gathering together was one in which God has already been at work. God has been preparing them to come together to hear Peter preach God's word. That's very significant, because here we are this morning. And as we gather this morning, we come from all the different situations that you and I have experienced during this last week. Isn't that right? Some of you have had a hard week. Some of you were discouraged. Some of you were sad. Some of you felt lonely. Some of you had questions. Some of you were confronting questions. Do I do this? Do I do that? And you gather here this morning as those who have been wrestling with all kinds of situations and all kinds of issues. And God brings us together under the preaching of His Word. And I want you to recognize the significance of that, because God's word is a word preached to people who are engaging with real life situations that are gnarly, that are difficult, that are perplexing. And God brings us together in order that, well, as the scripture says, the coming of God's word brings light. And God, by His word, begins to shed light on our circumstances. And the fact that we're here this morning gathered together under the preaching of God's word is not something that's come about by accident. It's not simply a chance occurrence. It's a situation in which God has already been at work. God, as it were, has been ushering us, has been shepherding us, has been bringing us together to this place where we gather as a congregation of his people with all our questions, with all of our puzzlement, with all of these situations going on in order for us to hear the words that we need to hear. God's word, says Paul, writing to the Thessalonian Christians, God's word, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, God's word is at work in you who believe. And the work that God is doing in our lives and all of those things that we wrestle with and the situations that we find ourselves in, God brings us together in order for us to be instructed by his word, in order for us to be able to go out and engage those situations with a different perspective, with a new understanding, with a deepened faith. And God's word works in those who believe. And we're here this morning because, well, the writer of the Hebrews says, don't neglect meeting together, as some do. It's important for us that we meet together because as we do so, God works in us by his word to prepare us, to equip us, to enable us, and to orient us to face the situations that we wrestle with in the world in which we live, with all of its challenges and all of its perplexities and all of its difficulties, because we know that, well, as Jesus says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So here is this gathering that Luke describes for us is a gathering in which we can already discern the hand of God at work. God is working in these individuals, Cornelius, Peter, the other unnamed individuals who have gathered there. They're not there by chance. They're there because they need to hear something important, and they're there because God has made it possible for them to be there. And we catch something of Peter's surprise, don't we, in the verses that we've been reading. And in fact, as Cornelius... As the preacher is introduced in these verses, as the preacher is introduced, we get some sense of well, I don't know, Peter's someone who's, he's surprised. He walks in, well, first of all, he's got Cornelius falling down at his feet, and then when they get that squared away and Peter comes in the house, the house is filled with all Cornelius' friends and relations and relatives and everyone whom he could invite and get packed in there, and Peter must be, I don't know, Peter's playing catch-up, isn't he? And the sense of his puzzlement is evident in the verses that we've read. Peter asking, well, why have you sent for me? What's going on? What's happening? And if Peter's playing catch-up, and this is the preacher who's about to come to the into the pulpit to preach to this congregation that Luke describes for us. And you think, well, the poor fellow, he's scrambling to get aboard to catch up with what's going on. But, you know, as a preacher, I find that very comforting. Because quite honestly, every time the preacher comes to the pulpit, it's a new adventure. And every time the preacher walks into the room and looks around and sees the faces that are there and realizes that God has brought those individuals there. There's a sense, what is God going to do? What has God to say to the individual whom I know to be hurting, the individual whom I know to be struggling with a decision, and all the individuals who are struggling with things that I have no idea what they are, but God has brought them here, the 13th of February, because there's something they need to hear. And Peter's scanning the room and seeing the faces and wondering what's going to happen and realizing that God is at work there in ways that Peter can't have anticipated or couldn't have predicted. And Peter's very aware of his own limitations at that point. We heard Peter speak to Cornelius. Remember Cornelius, when Peter arrived in Caesarea, when Peter arrived at Cornelius' compound, Cornelius went out and fell down at his feet, and Peter could have received that adulation, but Peter's response was, stand up, I too am a man. That's verse 26. I'm only a man. I'm no different from you are. Yes, I'm the one whom Jesus has called to be an apostle. I'm the one whom Jesus has appointed to be a preacher, but I'm no different in nature than you are. I'm someone who's like you. Now, there's some preachers, and we know that there's some preachers who act as if they're fully in control of circumstances, and they're not. They might talk about the number of people that they're going to see converted. They might talk about the number of people who are going to be present. They might talk about the amount of money that's going to be put in the plate. The preacher has no control over that. And as Peter came into this room and sees all of these Romans gathered there, Peter must have realized that here was a situation that, well, it went beyond anything he had ever experienced before. But he must have felt keenly his own sense of inadequacy, and at the same time, he must have felt a deep sense of happiness that he was commissioned by the Lord Jesus to speak to this group of Gentiles of things that he himself had experienced: the grace of Jesus, the patience of Jesus, the forgiveness of Jesus, the instruction of Jesus. And who better equipped to declare those things than someone who has experienced those things himself? That's why you need to hear God's word, not from an angel, not from some kind of Superman, but you hear God's word from someone who struggles with the same kinds of temptations that you struggle with, who needs the same mercy that you need, who identifies himself as a sinner crying out to God for mercy as you did earlier in the service, who is able to speak to you of the sweetness of God because he himself has tasted the goodness of God. You're not going to be wise if you accept a meal from a chef who hasn't tasted it himself. And if he's not willing to taste the food that he serves up to you, you have good cause to be suspicious and consider that there might be something wrong or something not quite right. And here is Peter, who is only a man, and he's going to stand before this congregation that Luke describes for us, that Cornelius has gathered together, and he's going to preach to them about Jesus. And he will preach to them about Jesus as someone who himself knew Jesus. He's going to speak to them about the forgiveness of Jesus as someone who had experienced that forgiveness. He's going to talk to them about the saving power of Jesus as someone who's relying on that saving power in his own life. And yes, he's going to speak to them as someone who is learning the lessons that God has for him. We heard him say, God has shown me that I shouldn't call common or unclean what God has declared to be clean. Peter's saying, I'm still learning. Today, as I stand before you, says Peter, I just learned a new lesson. God's still at work in me. You know, that is so important. Pray for preachers. Pray for preachers. Paul speaks to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15, and Paul says to Timothy, let your progress be evident to all. Do you hear what Paul's saying to Timothy? Paul is saying, Timothy, as the congregation gets to know you, as you minister to them, as you preach to them, as you counsel them, as you interact with them, they should be able to see you growing in grace. They should see you deepening in love. They should see your fluency in proclaiming the Lord Jesus become increasingly great and more articulate as you speak to your beloved people of the things that Jesus is teaching to you. You see, the preacher's not some kind of Superman. The preacher is someone who comes speaking of that which he has tasted for himself and experienced for himself. And as he preaches, he realizes that God's the one who's at work. The Holy Spirit, who, as Jesus says in John chapter 3, verse 8, the Holy Spirit who's like the wind who blows. You don't see him, but his effects are felt. And there's that experience that sometimes happens as God's word goes forth, where there's that moment of silence and the congregation becomes still. The throat clearing, all those other normal sounds that are part of a body of people gathered together, those sounds die away and there's a stillness, and you realize God is in this place. The Holy Spirit is at work, that individuals are realizing that God has brought them under the preaching of his word because there's something that they need to hear, something that they need to be taught, something that they need to learn and receive with faith. And so here comes Peter. Oh, you might look at Peter coming into this situation, kind of playing catch up and as it were, reeling from these unfolding surprises. But Peter, as he comes into that situation, he's not someone to be pitied. He's someone who is happy because he comes in there not speaking his own words, but speaking the words that Jesus has given him to speak. He speaks at the Lord's command. And of course, Cornelius, who's invited him there, knows all about commands, doesn't he? Cornelius is a soldier. And very recently we hear of Cornelius sending a couple of his servants and one of his subordinate soldiers up to or down to Joppa in order to bring Peter. Cornelius gave them their orders. He gave them a message. And when they got to Joppa, they had a message to deliver. And as a good subordinate soldier and as good servants, they relayed to Peter the message that Cornelius had given them. They were the messengers. Cornelius sent them, and that's now the role in which Peter finds himself. Peter is the one who's the messenger. God commands his word to be preached. And so the preacher, as he comes before the congregation, can be happy because he doesn't have to make something up. He doesn't have to speak with great fluency or great knowledge about politics or about science or about cultural affairs, because God has told him to preach the Lord Jesus. And you remember how Paul counsels Timothy and advises Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, where Paul says to Timothy, preach the word. And Paul puts that command to Timothy alongside his caution to Timothy that there are going to be those who are talking about all kinds of other things, who are going to entice people with messages about all kinds of different subjects. And Paul says, Timothy, don't be distracted, preach the word. And of course, Paul doesn't need to explain any further to Timothy what that is. Paul's reminding Timothy that as a pastor in Jesus' church, as a preacher in Jesus' church, his message is a message about Jesus. That's the message he's been given, the message he's been commanded, and as a faithful servant, he's going to preach the word to his people. He's going to preach to them about the Lord Jesus. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17, we are not like so many peddlers of God's word. We're not trying to use God's word to promote our own agenda. We're not trying to use God's word to advance our own interests. No, we are not peddlers of God's word, but as men of integrity, as commissioned by God in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. And to hear Paul heaping up qualification after qualification to underscore and underscore again that as he preaches, he preaches the message of the gospel that God has commissioned him to preach. And you hear him say he does so in Christ. And those of us who've been listening to Sinclair Ferguson these last Lord's Day mornings in the adult Sunday school class recognize that Paul is saying that as he preaches, as one commissioned by God, not as a peddler of God's word, but as someone who's a man of sincerity, as a man of integrity, Christ is in it. He preaches in Christ. He recognizes that as he faithfully proclaims the message that God has entrusted to him, Jesus Christ is pleased to be involved in that. And the sheep hear the voice of the shepherd. Isn't that how it works? The sheep hear the voice of the shepherd. And the sheep that otherwise would be harassed and helpless and scattered and anxious and fearful, the sheep are comforted and calmed and reassured. And they see Jesus. And their hearts are reassured that all is well. Oh, in practical terms, the preacher then is he's commissioned by God. He preaches God's word, the word that God has given him. Here, we hear Cornelius say, we're here this morning. We don't know what time of day it was. We're here in order to hear what God has commanded you to say. And that makes for a happy preacher. when he realizes that his hearers recognize that what he's preaching is not something he's made up. He's not venturing out into areas that are none of his business. He's not talking about things about which he knows nothing. He's speaking as someone who has been called by God to preach about a Savior whom he knows personally, and on whose grace he relies personally day in and day out. And so here, in practical terms, Peter comes preaching God's word. The preacher doesn't pick or choose. He preaches God's word. He speaks conscientiously. That was what Paul said, as men of integrity, as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God, before God, we preach in Christ. You see, the preacher is not getting at his congregation. He's not trying to advance his agenda. He's not trying to guilt people. He's not trying to bend people to his will. He stands up and he speaks the word that God has given to him. Now, you pray that your preacher and other preachers you know will be men of integrity who do that, so that you can listen to God's word. And on those points where you are pricked in conscience, at those points where you're cut to the heart, at those points where you feel yourself being admonished, at those points where you realize that your sin is being exposed, it's not the preacher getting at you. That's something to take up with God, and something to make right with God, and something to seek God's grace in, but to rejoice that God blesses you with a message of his word. Paul says in Acts chapter 20, verse 20, that he did not shrink back from declaring to those Ephesians. He did not shrink back from declaring the whole counsel of God. It would be nice if we could only talk all the time about God's love and God's tenderness and God's compassion without talking about God's holiness and righteousness and God's justice and God's wrath and the condemnation that God brings on those who resist the pleas of the gospel. Paul wasn't going to be guilty of any of that. Paul says, I declare to you the whole counsel of God. And then you remember, counsels Timothy. Timothy, preach the word. That's your message. That's your mandate. That's your calling. Make that known to those whom God has given you to your congregation. And yes, we're introduced to the congregation right at the end. Verse 33, these people who gathered to hear, and we don't know very much about them. We know that they're Gentiles. We know that they're friends and relatives of Cornelius. Cornelius sent out an invitation. Peter's going to come. You may not have heard of Peter, but this you really need to hear what he's got to say. And Cornelius' friends and relations showed up. And we don't hear from them, but we hear from Cornelius, because as Cornelius sets the stage, he speaks on behalf of those who were there. He speaks for the whole congregation. And he says to Peter, "You, Peter, you've been kind enough to come to us." This gathering was, they were appreciative. They saw this as a privilege. They were thankful that Peter had come. Thank you for coming to us. They recognized the privilege, not of meeting Peter, but the privilege of hearing from someone who would speak to them the words of God. They recognized that as a privilege, and that is a glorious privilege, one that we receive with gratitude, one that we should be thankful for. We should be thankful that our children are instructed in the ways of the Lord. We should be thankful that we have God's word in our own language. We should be thankful that we have freedom to gather and worship and hear God's word proclaimed. These things are a high privilege, and we give thanks to God for them, and we cherish them, and we put a high premium on them, and we treasure them, and we are grateful for them. Cornelius and this little congregation that had assembled, that congregation was thankful for what Peter had to say. And of course, as they heard Peter speak, they're hearing an echo of the Lord Jesus. Remember how Luke chapter 4, verse 22 tells us the people were amazed at the gracious words that came from the Lord Jesus' mouth. And this congregation that's hearing Peter echo Jesus' words, they're appreciative of the privilege. They're glad that in the midst of all the confusion of the society in which they live, that there's someone who's going to come and speak words that have been given to him by God. They're thankful for that. Be thankful. Be thankful for the opportunity to hear God's word preached. Be grateful for that. And they were eager, weren't they? They were eager. They said, we want to hear all that you have been commanded to say by God. What an invitation. I'm sure that put a smile on Peter's face. I said, Peter, we want to hear whatever you have to tell us. Be honest with us. Be frank with us. Be candid with us. Tell us what we need to hear. Now, that had been a problem for the Jewish people who heard Jesus preach. You remember when Jesus preached to them, they didn't like to hear what Jesus had to say. But here's a more noble congregation because they say to Peter, tell us whatever it is that God has commanded you to say. Don't withhold anything from us. Unburden yourself to us. Tell us what's on your heart. Tell us what God has laid on your heart. Share with us the words that God has put in your mouth. We want to hear all of it. That's so important for us, isn't it? It's important for us to hear not just the instruction, not just the words of comfort, but the words of admonition, the words of rebuke, the words that bring us to repentance, the words that point out our errors, the words that demolish our false thinking. We need to hear all of those words. They're precious words. They're words of delight for our souls. And this congregation that Luke describes for us says to Peter, tell us all that God has given you. They're not picky eaters when it comes to God's word. And sometimes we can be picky eaters in hearing God's word or in reading God's word. They're the portions we read and the portions we ignore. Let's not be picky. Let's accept the word of God. And Cornelius says, we're all here in the presence of God. We're all of us gathered. We're all gathered. Now, this is very important, and let me just call your attention to this. Luke is presenting this to us with approval. And here is Peter. He's addressing a group of people who, well, they're not using the language of discipleship, but they're saying, we're disciples. We're here to be taught. We're here to learn. It is a marvelous thing, and it's a vital thing for you to be a part of a community of learning people, a community of disciples. And unfortunately, in our day and age, with the technology that the Lord has blessed us with, that kind of gets overlooked. We can stream worship services. We can listen to podcasts from famous preachers. We can read blogs by notable theologians. But we need to gather together as a congregation of people that is learning together. We need to be growing together with our brothers and sisters. We need to be encouraging one another as those who are fellow disciples. We need to be sharing with one another the things that Jesus is teaching us. We heard Peter start out by saying, here, let me tell you what God told me. Previously, I looked down on people like you Gentiles, but I'm not going to do that anymore. God showed me that was wrong. And immediately, Peter stands before them as someone who's learning from God. What an encouragement that must have been for them. And what an encouragement it is for your brothers and sisters when they realize that God's at work in your life, that you're learning. When after the service, you're able to say, here's what the Holy Spirit said to me. Here's how God ministered to me. Here's the way in which my heart was touched. Here's the way in which my thinking was straightened out. Here's the way in which, you could think of many, many things, but they're going to encourage your brothers and sisters to realize that they're part of a community of people who are in process of learning. And let me encourage you here this morning. You may feel that you're among people who seem to know lots and lots of things, but no, we're all learning from the youngest of us to the oldest among us. And that's a wonderful thing. And Cornelius acknowledges that. We're all here. We're all gathered together because we want to learn. We want to hear whatever it is God has given you to say to us. And Matthew Henry's kind of interesting, has a sort of and I'm not sure if I understand Matthew Henry's 17th or 18th century English the way I should, but it's as if Matthew Henry's seeing a play on words where Cornelius is saying, we're all here. We're not just here in body. Our minds are fully engaged. Our thoughts are not wandering. We're not preoccupied with the next thing that we're going to be doing tomorrow. We're all here. We're not just here in body, but we are. We're all here. Tell us what we need to hear. And that must have made Peter very, very happy. And as Cornelius introduces him, he says, "We're here in the presence of God." They knew that they were in the presence of God. They knew that God was at work. They didn't see God, but they knew that God was there. Matthew Henry says, they knew that God's eye was on them. And God's eye is on us. He looks into our hearts. He directs his word into the recesses of our lives. The Holy Spirit, who's the expert swordsman, drives the word of God into the parts of our heart that need to hear it. Shines the light of God's word into the dark recesses. Cornelius says, we know that we're gathered in the presence of God. God's here. And you know, that was true then. That's true today. As God's people gather, as the word of Jesus is preached, God is present. That makes us very expectant. That makes not just preachers happy, but that makes congregations happy as well to realize that God is present. And you know, the happiest preacher of all is not Peter. It's the Lord Jesus. Because we hear Jesus speak in Luke chapter 10, and Jesus is filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. Luke 10, beginning in verse 21, and then the verses following. Jesus is filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. He says, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that these things that have been concealed from the wise and the learned, they've been made known to ordinary people. Even little children hear and understand and receive and accept the truth." That's a glorious privilege, and the Lord Jesus is delighted as his word goes out and as it's received by faith, not just by people who are wise and learned, but by people who are of tender years, people whose academic attainments might be minimal or non-existent. Jesus is the happy preacher who holds forth the word of life and delights to see it received by faith, by those who hear and recognize that it's not the word of man, but the word of God that's at work in those who believe. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you now for this word of yours. And we pray that you would use that word in ways that go beyond our ability to comprehend or imagine. And we pray that you would be pleased to delight our hearts and strengthen our faith, deepen our increase our worship, deepen our love, and improve our serviceability. Cause us, our Father, to shine out as lights in a dark place because we have heard the word of the living God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to sing praise.